selling smoothies is what I do. But for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. He's a small business owner, too, so he knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Look who's back. This is Believe in Blazers on the Believe Network. I am your brand new host, Peter Sampson. You might be wondering, who is this Yahoo? Where's this podcast been? Why haven't I been able to listen to this during this seemingly long Trailblazers season? Well, I will answer all of those questions. First of all, you might know me from Portland Sports Radio. You know what? Actually, I'll just give you the quick 1 minute elevator pitch on how I ended up here. I started at Blazers Edge right after Ben Golliver left. I wrote for them for several years. I took that and started a radio show on X-Ray FM, Blazers Edge Radio. Go ahead and just shout out that I was named Best Sports Radio in Portland by Willamette Week in 2017. Once that happened, sort of the big boys in radio came calling. I joined Alpha Media, 750 The Game. I was there for, gosh, 5.5 years. You most likely know me from there. I was all over the schedule there, whether it was Hoops 120, the Saturday show, the last quarter, the NBA wrap-up show, whether it was The Pulse, college football game days. I was everywhere. The BFT with John Canzano. I definitely did a lot for them. They unceremoniously let me go just about a year ago. I get it. It was nothing personal. Just you know how it is in radio. Currently, I am a beat reporter covering the Portland Trail Blazers for Clutch Points. Yeah, believe it or not, Clutch Points actually covers the NBA. It's not just ridiculous graphics and silly NBA memes. I'm on press row. I'm in the press room. I'm covering the team up close and personal. And now I've added Believe in Blazers on the Believe Network to my coverage of the team. There's a lot to get to. I'm going to try to keep this pretty short today just as an intro pod. But you can look for this probably, I don't know, 2-3 times a week. There are a lot of great Blazers podcast. I got to shout out my guy Mike Richmond at Locked On. It's fantastic. I don't know if my brand new employer will like me immediately telling you about a competitor, but I also don't really care. He does a great job. Mike's a good dude. I sit right by him on press row. It sort of goes, Mike, and then, someone from the Associated Press, then me. I'm directly behind Sean Hyken from the Rose Garden Report, Danny Morang, from Jack Ramsey's and 1080 The Fan. There are various other people kind of in and out, depending on the ball game. I do want to talk real quick about the win over the Raptors this week and what a good win this was, right? And, of course, Scoot Henderson makes his long-awaited return And I got to be real, after the All-Star break, when they announced that he was dealing with the adductor strain, which, by the way, doesn't that seem like the injury du jour for the Blazers over the last couple years? Whether it's Dame, who needed the surgery, obviously legit, Nasir Little, Shaedon Sharpe, and now Scoot has it. And I know that they're not going to sort of shut him down in order to maybe have the rest of the season play out how they want it to as you angle towards the NBA lottery. Obviously, Scoot, he needs court time. He needs consistency. He needs to especially play with Ant. You know, Chauncey Billups said that he wants to really play them in lineups together to get one or both of them used to playing off the ball at any given time. Look, two great guards, two guards that need the ball in their hands. So Scoot missing that time, not ideal. Last week, Billups talked about the fact that Scoot was getting close and they were hopeful for this weekend. In the locker room after that game, Scoot sort of alluded to, he was asked if he's coming back Friday against Houston. He's, we'll see. And with that, you knew it was going to be Saturday. It already seemed like Saturday, but right there you go, okay. Scoot is going to come back, and he's going to come back against the Toronto Raptors. And I'll be real, that opening possession where he immediately turned it over at the midline, I go, oh man, he's rusty. It's going to be one of those games, isn't it? Well, it turns out it wasn't. Scoot Henderson, man, I mean, you could talk about the rough start that he's had to this season. You could talk about the fouls, you know, maybe the shooting percentage. I think a lot of those concerns have really, if you've been paying attention, have been alleviated over the course of the year. Of course, you know, he still turns it over a little much. I think that's just sort of indicative of his style of play. He's strong, he's physical, he gets downhill, and he hasn't quite mastered, you know, getting himself out of jams. Maybe he tries to do a little too much. It's just sort of rookie stuff, right? Especially rookie point guard, especially 19, now 20-year-old rookie point guard stuff. But that game against Toronto that he had, I mean, the offense, you know, Portland needs more shooters. They need more consistency maybe around their main guys. But the offense just looks so much better when Scoot Henderson is in the lineup. And the raw numbers don't necessarily tell the story, even though he certainly, you know, he racked up some assists. The jumper was wet, man. It looked good from the outside. Another thing he's definitely improved on this year. But when you're talking about maybe just like what are so-called hockey assists, the pass that leads to the assist, I mean, I counted four, maybe even five of those. And some of those were really tough passes. We're talking a dude with fantastic court vision. I mean, you can see all of it there. And because of that, let's just be honest, brutal stretch to his career at the start of this season. I mean, the national narrative, I know who cares about the national narrative, right? Because it's completely uninformed usually. But I mean, the narrative immediately just went to, I don't know about this kid. You know, should we say the B word? You know, no, Scoot's not a bust. He was a teenager replacing a franchise icon who is playing the most difficult position to learn in basketball. And yeah, there's no denying he struggled, but I can tell you, I mean, watching these games up close, I mean, even the things that don't show up in the stat sheet have gotten just so much better. I'm as high on this kid as I was, you know, leading up to the draft. Going into this season, I definitely had concerns about the three-point shot. I mean, it looks better. I mean, if he can just get to, he doesn't need to be, you know, like a 42% knockdown shooter, but I think it's very, very reasonable to get to 36, 37%, just enough that they have to respect it. They're already starting to. They certainly, you know, opponents respect that three-point shot a lot more than they did at the beginning of the season, where you'd see a defender go ahead and just sag off by 9 or 10 feet and just be like, go ahead, Rook, shoot it. I mean, and when they have to play up that close on him, I mean, his first step is just lethal. And it's going to be even more so when the defender continues to have to respect that three-point shot. I loved what I saw out of Scoot coming back. Speaking of maligned Blazers unfairly, DeAndre Ayton, monster game, one rebound away from a 30-20 game against the Raptors. That was fantastic. And that just goes to show what DA can do when he's dialed in. the whole situation around DeAndre Ayton, it's completely unfair. I was never a fan of the way he was treated in Phoenix. And I know some of his things that he said historically has sort of rubbed fans the wrong way. You know, I am a max player. What's your goal in the NBA to get that second contract? Like, I get what he's saying, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I know how that sounds to a certain subset of a fan base. But on the flip side, you know, I look at a Phoenix team where, I mean, you talk about a guy that is just the scapegoat. I mean, he sacrificed his numbers for the good of the team. And, you know, last year in the playoffs, he defended Jokic as well as anyone I've seen do it in the NBA. Now, did he stop him? No, no one can, but he looked good. It's just a matter of he's kind of a classic big man. You got to keep him engaged, right? You got to give him his touches. Portland really struggled with that earlier in the year. It's certainly changed. He's come alive. Of course, then the hand injury where he missed a handful of games with the right hand sprain. Fortunately, only a sprain. I mean, that looked terrible in person. It was in the Miami game. Kevin Love slides in to take a charge, and both those guys went down really, really hard. And fortunately, not a serious injury for DeAndre, more of a pain management situation. He looked fantastic against Toronto. And to be fair, they didn't really have any size to hang with him, right? I mean, who are you putting on him? You know, Chris Boucher. I mean, props to Boucher. He made some huge shots down the stretch to help send that into overtime. But the Blazers, absolutely, despite him missing the potential game winner, do not win that game without DeAndre Ayton. Or Danilo Banton, frankly. Danilo Banton, boy, you talk about a steal, right? A top 55 protected pick. Basically, a second round pick that is never going to convey going to the Boston Celtics for Danilo Banton. You go, hey man, let's take a flyer on this guy. Let's just see what he can give us. If he can give us anything, if nothing else, all our guards are hurt. And, you know, it's someone that we can plug and play. We don't have to put in, you know, maybe a Justin Manaea, or we can play Ashton Hagans a few fewer minutes. And his last two games, he's been great. I mean, against Houston, the efficiency wasn't necessarily great. Dude took 27 shots to get 30 points. But it's funny. It's funny. After Coach Billups' pregame press conference, I like to get out on the court I like to sit courtside, basically, and I watch some of the guys warm up. Just see, you know, who's looking good, who's not, what's going on, any cool moments that are going to happen out there. And as you can imagine, NBA players unguarded in warmups. I mean, these guys are just automatic, right? Well, Danilo Banton was really missing pregame before the Houston game. Unguarded, you know, he's got the assistant coach out there just feeding him the ball. And he's missing 10-foot jumpers, 12-foot jumpers, struggling from three. And I had a tweet thumbed out. Do we still call it a tweet? A post, a tweet. I'm calling it Twitter, and I'm calling it a tweet. Just deal with it. So on Twitter, I thumbed out a tweet saying Danilo Banton missing everything. So of course, you know, he's going to go off for 18 points tonight, inevitably. I didn't send it. And then of course, he does go off, but 18 points was a little bit low. Ended up with 30. And his game is really interesting. Like, you can see how long he is, but in person, I mean, it's he's so tall and so long for a true two guard. Like, you see some guys that can sort of play the two or the three. And I mean, maybe Banton could move down and play the three a little bit. He's possibly a little thin for that. Maybe not enough strength, but he is so long. And he is not shy about attacking the basket, is he? I mean, he just sort of shuffles in, puts his head down, gets to the rim. He's excellent at drawing fouls. Now, I don't necessarily expect, amazing things from him going forward. But, I mean, if you're talking a bench player, I think if Billups can sort of continue to unlock this and he can work on fixing his form from the outside, he's got a little bit of a funky shot from three. Last few games, man, I can't criticize it too much, though, because it's looked great. going in, but he's got a little bit of a funky form there. I'd love to see that fixed. But if they can do that, I mean, Portland really, really might have found something. I mean, you'd say that, oh, they fleeced the Celtics. I mean, no, they didn't, because Boston needed essentially just to clear a roster space for their own moves. But so far, so good with Danilo Banton. I mean, especially at that that contract. I think he's on, he might be on the vet minimum. If he's not, it's equivalent. I mean, the dude's making like $3 million a year. And if you can get a player where under normal circumstances, you know, where Shaden Sharpe's healthy, if Brogdon is still here, he's healthy. Benton, you know, slots down in the rotation a little bit, but you're talking a guy where he can get 15, 18 pretty good minutes. He can get to the line. He's long enough that he can maybe play a little bit of defense. You've really found something there. So I got to give props to the Blazers front office for identifying him. And I don't know exactly what led to that, if that was a guy that the Blazers had identified, or if Boston just, they found themselves, you know, looking to make a deal and they needed to clear out a roster spot immediately, and Portland said, sure, why not? Whatever.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Plus, though, so far, so good. Speaking of Boston, Celtics are in town tonight. That's going to be a tough one for Portland. Maybe. Well, I mean, let's be honest. It probably will. But Boston is banged up. And by banged up, I think they might just be sniffing a relatively easy win and they might rest everybody. So far, already, Kristaps Porzingis is out. And that's not necessarily a surprise. He's been dealing with an ankle and a few other various lingering injuries all season long. It makes sense that he's out. But then you look at the rest of the lineup. Basically, the rest of Boston's starters, they're all questionable. And so you're talking Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Drew Holiday, Blazers legend Drew Holiday, and Derek White, all questionable. Now, if I were to guess, I don't think Boston rests all of these guys, but I wouldn't be surprised if, say, you know, maybe Tatum and Holiday sit, or maybe Brown, Holiday, and Derek White all sit. I think they want to keep maybe at least one of their primary scorers in the game, just to give them a little punch. But I think they look at this Portland team and where they are in the season, sort of what the Blazers' goals are, and I think they go, you know what, we can take a little bit of a rest here on this road trip, get our guys just a little healthier, and look forward. So it's going to be an interesting game tonight. Not sure exactly who's going to play. I anticipate for the Blazers, of course, Jeremy Grant is questionable. Jabari Walker out, and Scoot and DA totally off the injury report at this time. So no setbacks after they played against the Raptors this weekend. Scoot, I believe, like I said, still on that minutes restriction, probably because of that, going to come off the bench once that restriction's lifted. I certainly expect him to get back into the starting lineup. So again, he can sort of work on coexisting with Anfernee Simons and vice versa there. So don't be surprised to see Chris Murray in the starting lineup again. Now, that's been interesting. I mean, Murray really didn't do much through the first half of the season at all. And a lot of that was due to opportunity, right? But he's looked really good in isolated moments in the starting lineup. The one thing he's got to fix, and it's so funny, you know, twin brother of Keegan Murray, who is a pretty darn good three-point shooter and can get just absolutely on fire from the three-point line. Real streaky, can just go on those runs. Chris Murray, so far, that's kind of been the weak spot in his game to this point, hasn't it? But you look at him at the beginning of the year, you know, some of the stretches with the Rip City remix, and you compare that to where he's at now, and the three-point shot, while it hasn't necessarily fallen yet, he's doing a lot of the other things that you need a guy to be able to slide in and do. He's rotating on defense. He's getting up on ball handlers, you know, putting some pressure on. He's got a pretty decent frame on him too. I think he has potential to be a relatively solid defender. The rebounding has been very, very nice. And to be frank, it's kind of surprised me just how aggressive he's been and how good he's been at boxing out, securing rebounds. I think he really does need to unlock that three-point shot. I also, if you forced me to guess, I think he's in his head a little bit with it. I know I get the impression from talking to people he's a little bit of a perfectionist. I know Coach Billups has kind of referred to him as one time, because you only need to tell him something one time, and then he's really on himself about correcting any issues, which, look, that's what you want, right? Especially for maybe a fringe guy, a dude that's going to put in the work, a dude that's going to listen, put in the effort, fit in with the team scheme, all those different things. Chris Murray seems like a guy who takes that very seriously. But at least of late, you know, he's not shy about shooting the three, which is good. If it's there, shoot it. If you're open, it's a good shot. But the misses, a decent chunk of them haven't just been misses. I mean, completely missing the rim, backboard only, hitting the side of the board. I mean, some of them have been pretty bad. And usually that's not necessarily indicative of just whether a guy is an adequate three-point shooter or not. When you're missing that bad, both short and long, in and out, usually you're in your head, you're gripping a little bit, you're feeling a little bit, you're pressing a little bit. And hopefully, over the final however many games we have left, you know, the final little stretch of the season here through mid-April, he can just relax, feel comfortable, get some extended run, and, you know, turn your brain off and shoot the ball. I'd love to see it. And so I liked the pick. I liked Murray at 23. You know, obviously, I wouldn't have wanted him much higher than that, but I thought it was a solid pickup. I know he was older. I know he wasn't a great shooter in college, but those guys, you want to take guys that have really high potential up high in the draft, but it doesn't hurt, especially when you have multiple picks, to take a guy who maybe doesn't have the highest ceiling, but he's got a really high floor. Like, you feel really good about just this guy's going to be able to contribute. You can say that about Jabari Walker last draft, right? I mean, Jabari Walker, most likely never going to be a 20 and 10 guy, okay? You know, it just makes sense. But he slots right into that role player role. He knows how to rebound. He's great at putbacks. You know what's funny, too? Jabari Walker clearly doesn't trust his three-point shot, but he's actually a decent three-point shooter. Again, when you're talking, I'm sitting courtside and he's shooting in pregame. Like, he's got a good shot. He's got a nice stroke. He just won't take it in the games. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I do, you know, just like you, notice that he just refuses to pull the trigger. If he can add that, I mean, it would really open things up for him. But again, it's back-to-back years where maybe you've taken a real high upside guy, Shaedon Sharpe, and then you take a high floor guy, Jabari Walker. This year, Blazers take two high upside guys. Scoot Henderson, obviously high upside. Ryan Rupert, who's finally getting some burn. He's a project, but also incredibly high upside. Another guy that still needs to work on his shot. But, I mean, Rupert, you talk about the physical stuff with him. I mean, man, I've heard, I don't know if this is true, but I've heard he's, you know, still growing a little bit. I don't know if that's true. I'm not going to do that. Okay. I'm not going to get into that, but it's what I've heard. I'd believe it. He's so long, and the defensive instincts are there. Coach Billups did tell us last week that, and this was when Billups was asked, you know, about Rupert's development. He said Rupert's the hardest worker on the team. And that's really saying something, isn't it? A guy who really isn't getting any minutes until just the last handful of games. You know, he's pretty much playing in the G League with the Remix most of the time until lately. And he's still putting in harder work, more work than anyone else on the team. It bodes very, very well for his future. I still think he's a couple years away. But, I mean, you just look at those physical tools, the ability to put, or the willingness to put in the work, the ability to play defense, another very high upside guy. So, two high upside guys, and then Murray kind of with the high floor sandwiched in. And that's not to say that Murray can't really unlock something. I think he could. I just don't necessarily, you know, you don't see star potential necessarily with that. But I do see a consistent role player in his future. And there's nothing wrong with that with pick 23 if you're the Portland Trail Blazers. It's very, very good. So expect Murray to start against Boston. I don't really have a ton of insight into this game just because we don't exactly know as of, I'm recording this at 10:24 in the morning. We don't exactly know who Boston is going to play tonight. But it's either going to be a game where Portland can hang in because Boston's resting their guys, or it's a game where maybe the Blazers have a challenge, and then maybe towards the end of the game in the fourth quarter, you get to see, you know, Rupert time. You get to see Ashton Hagans. You get to see some of those guys. It's a late start tonight. If you're listening to this, maybe in the afternoon, maybe you're checking your podcast on your commute home from work, and you're like, whoa, what the hell? Bleavin' Blazers is back? Yeah, we are. 7:30 start tonight. So if you go to tune in at 7 o'clock, it's not on yet. That is why. So it's a late night for me tonight at the arena as well. By the way, speaking of driving in your car and listening to Blazers related programming, I do want to let you know on Saturday, if you listen to the radio broadcasts of the Portland Trail Blazers games on Saturday, yours truly, Peter Sampson, I will be hosting Blazers game day and the fifth quarter before and after the Blazers game. Chad, Chris, the guys that do that, those shows do a great job. Not available. Chad thought of me. He reached out the other day and said, hey man, do you want to do this? I said, abso-freaking-lutely I do. You know, so it'll be good to be back on the airwaves, even if it's just for a quick 4-hour stint. So make sure to catch that Saturday before the Blazers take on the New Orleans Pelicans on the road. Game day goes from 1:30 to 3 o'clock Pacific time. And then, of course, the fifth quarter immediately after the game where I'm taking your calls. We're rehashing the game, going through all that stuff. That's 620 Rip City Radio. Of course, you can also just watch me try to remember how to do sports radio on YouTube on the 620 Rip City Radio channel. So with that, enjoy the game. I will be back in just a couple days. I will put this show, not this episode, but going forward, this show will be on YouTube as well. If that's your preferred way of consuming Blazers content, I will do that. Basically, I'm just waiting on some graphic stuff. I'm waiting for an overlay. I took this gig, gosh, we're talking like 8 or 9 days ago, but there's always that sort of transition period where it's like, I need a new graphic. I need this. Do I have a login to upload these things? All that's squared away, except I'm still waiting on the video graphic. So soon that will be up as well. Appreciate you hanging with me. I will catch you shortly. Enjoy the game.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel. And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.